following program may contain material that is inappropriate for children or your workplace.
The following production of the Bang Cartoon Radio Hour contains fictional material used strictly for satirical and comedic purposes, and it should not be accepted as being factual, and all voices are impersonated.
Check for sound. Check for power. Get it ready.
Systems online.
Now let's get fired up for the Bang Cartoon Radio Hour.
Bang Cartoon Radio.
Oh yeah! Oh yeah!
So I'm a foolish cardinal.
It's about leading the league and fucking wins.
Welcome to the Bang Cartoon Radio Hour.
Roethlisberger. Roethlisberger.
What the fuck is wrong with Ben Roethlisberger, whatever his name is?
And now here's John and Tom.
We stink. Stink.
Get out, scream!
Here's the underneath throw to Calvin Johnson, 35-yard line. Here go the laterals. Ball to the turf. Covered on the floor by the 49ers. And the game is over. Jim Harbaugh jumping up and down in the middle of the field. Leaping as he comes across to shake hands with Jim Schwartz, who did not appear to share quite that enthusiasm. And Schwartz and Harbaugh are now jostling as they get off the field. Jim Harbaugh got a little too, and to be quite blunt, Jim got a little too enthusiastic there, and Jim Schwartz is now being separated from Jim Harbaugh.
He's actually trying to fight the guy.
I thought that was terrific, by the way. I thought that was the best theater of the weekend.
It's funny because guys... You can see it in guys. They become more enraged and more ready to fight when somebody's holding them back.
Yeah, I know.
Hold me back! Hold me back! No, really! Hold me back!
Yeah, really, no kidding. The funniest part was, well, for one, I don't know who that guy is that jumped in between him. Whoa, that little guy with the beard and the goatee.
I don't know. I figured he was some guy with security or something.
I've seen him before. He's some kind of NFL... I don't know. He's not an insider, but I guess he is if he's out there in the field like that. But I've seen that guy's face before. He was funny, but one of the 49ers linemen kind of grabbed Schwartz by the shoulder and was like laughing at him while Schwartz was trying to get around him. That was pretty good.
All right, we're going to talk about this coming up. I'm Tom. He's John. It's the Bang Cartoon Radio Hour, show number 187. We're going to talk about Schwartz and Harbaugh. Also, Brandon Marshall is a monster, John.
He's a beast.
Michael Irvin talks about white boys. The Eagle sign guy demands an apology. Mike Tyson's got a new e-card and a whole lot more. We have so much to get to, so let's get to the Gridiron Challenge top five standings.
Okay. I'm not in it.
You're not in it.
I'm not in the top five, not by any stretch.
Oh, no, you're not in it. No, you're not.
No. I'm 58 places away.
We run this over on ESPN's website, this fantasy football game. Sid Luckman in first place, second place Pervs on patrol. Again, reference to Bernie Kosar's daughter's porn movie. The Mitten Men return at third. And tied for fourth is our favorite double B910 entry. Yeah,
please.
And my wife, who has finally got a name now, is Danny's Boys. And by the way, Eskin Wannabe, he changed his team name again.
Oh, really? What is he now?
Yeah, he changed it last week to My Wife is in Seventh Place.
That's his new team name?
Yeah, well, now he's got to change it to My Wife is in Fourth Place.
Oh, your wife? I thought he was talking about his wife. I was going
to
say.
No, it's a reference to me saying that my wife was in seventh place last week. Well, now he's got to change it to fourth place because she's in fourth place now. I'm now on the front page in 34th. You are in 63rd.
Yeah, I know it. I know it. You know what? Because I took everybody's advice this week and started Ryan Terrain. Shoot me in the head. The hell is that?
Yeah, that hurt me in another league, the league that we're in, my league. Oh,
Tom Brady's on a bye this week. What the hell are you going to do?
Fuck Tom Brady. All right, Pigskin, pick 'em top five.
Tom Brady.
First place, the Mitten Men return. There he is. Look at that. First in the pick 'em and third in the Gridiron Challenge.
He gets a free ride on the Mini Tonka boat, boy.
Kravis, man. Kravis wants one of your toenails bad.
That's cool.
Second place, wee, all the way home. That, of course, Diva Lover.
Wee, all the way home.
And I understand that he's got his wrestling match.
He's had his wrestling match. Go over on our Facebook page. Somebody posted up a slideshow of photos of it.
Wow.
I'm telling you, Tom, he wrestles in front of nearly a dozen children. There's a picture of the crowd going wild. There's like eight of them under the age of 13 and nobody else.
Well, he's tied with Rusty's psychotic rant.
Right.
And then there's a three-way tie for fourth. Myself, the gay agenda, and Christ's chin.
Gay agenda and Christ's chin. Now, that is a combination that Freud would take apart, wouldn't you think?
Right, right.
I'm not too far behind on that.
You're seven. One back. You're in seventh place with 51 correct picks, and the three of us tied for fourth have 52, so you're just one back. It's all very close. This is anybody's game still.
I do believe I picked the 49ers last week, but I missed on the Panthers.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Jerry went 0-4 last week.
He's going to be losing pissed. It. He's losing it. Well, he's got plenty of stuff on his mind, right?
Right, right. Yeah. Did I mention I hate Tom Brady?
Oh, God. He hates Tom Brady.
Yeah. There's nothing else to say, really. I mean, he did what he does to everybody at home.
No, I don't like him. F him. And I haven't played him. We haven't played him yet.
The stupid shovel pass that we did, I never mind. I don't want to get into it.
All I can say is, you better hope that Rex Grossman's not playing when the Redskins get up there. He's going to break some of your defensive back's hands. Make sure you tape them fingers up, because he's going to hit you in your fingers a lot.
Oh, man.
Muzzle the dragon. Fuck it. Bury him deep.
Let's get back to this Lions-Niners game and Jim Schwartz versus Jim Harbaugh. You know, everybody's like, what's going on? And they show it, and it's obvious. You know, it was very, what's the word I'm looking for? It was a very cocky handshake by Jim Harbaugh. Let's put it that way.
See, but that's not what it was, from what I understand, that set him off. Because after the handshake, they showed it from another angle, from behind. He kind of puts his hand on Schwartz's small of his back, and he gives him a little shove. And according to people that were nearby, he said, get the F out of here. Which I think is funny as hell. Shake his hand and say, good game, now get the fuck out of here.
From what I understand, Schwartz made some comments during the game or something, talking a little trash to 49er players, I had heard.
Schwartz is not above doing that, and he does it a lot, man. I mean, you watch him at the end of each one of those wins that they had. He's pumping his fist all over the place and pretty much acting the same way.
He seems very cocky, and Jim Harbaugh seems to be a clone.
Right, right. So, what is with pulling your shirt up, though? What was that?
I don't know.
Maybe he thought he was in New Orleans and he saw some guys getting ready to throw some beads on the field, so he flashed his tits. I don't know.
Anyway, this is what Schwartz said about it afterward.
Went to shake an opponent's coach's hand, and I mean, obviously, you know, you win a game like that, you're excited and things like that, but I think there's a protocol that goes with this league. Went to congratulate Coach Harbaugh and got shoved out of the way, and then didn't expect an obscenity at that point, so it was a surprise to me at the end of the game.
Okay, I didn't get the audio, but Skip Bayless was in agreement with Jim Schwartz, and he said, well, he's right. Jim Harbaugh violated the post-game handshake protocol. And I'm like, oh, did he really say that?
The post-game handshake, we should find out from Tom Jackson if that's actually in the rule book. He seems to know it by heart.
Oh, my God. Yeah, you can't do that. That's a violation of protocol.
It's Article 13, Section 3, Line B.
Place your right hand at a 60-degree angle. Clasp your partner's hand firmly by the palm with thumbs to the top. Encircling the hand with the fingers, begin the shake from the elbow, taking care to allow the wrist to be swayed in the range of motion, ensuring contact with your partner's hand be maintained. Placing the hand too shallow will result in your partner's gripping only your fingers and thus making you feel like a girl.
Yes, and Jim Harbaugh, you didn't do that, and we have evidence.
Video.
Right.
Maintain a steady grip for no more than 3 seconds. Two shakes up and down any longer, and you run the risk of your partner believing that you may be gay.
Oh, man.
That's I wonder what the rule book says about tickling the palm of your partner with your fingers when you shake his hand. I guess if you do that, you run the risk of a punch in the nose or a plug in the ass, depending on how receptive he is to the idea. at the end, I was
see Appendix 5 for optional bro hug instructions.
Right. All right. Well, Harbaugh, this is what Harbaugh said, and I hear a little attitude, a little tongue in cheek here when he's talking about the handshake.
I was just really revved up, and that's totally on me. I shook his hand too hard, and I really went in, and it was a strong, you know, kind of slap. grab handshake. It was like kind of like
slap and grab,
same as I'd been doing with Costanzo and a few of the other guys. So that was on me. A little too hard of a handshake there.
Did you say anything?
Oh, then bumped. You get bumped. You felt like a chest bump there, but I don't think that person. That was on me.
It was on me. He's taking the blame, but he's not saying what really happened. It was a little chest bump there, and yeah, right.
He's out there with Costanza and the guys there. Tommy's out there with George. Hey, I'm with Jim Harbaugh. Get Kramer and Jerry in here. Take my picture.
Well, I admit it. I broke a rule.
It's Article 13, Section 3, Line B.
Right. But he didn't get fined. Roger Goodell's not going to fine him for that. Can you believe that actually got to the commissioner's desk?
No, that's pathetic.
It is. It's pathetic. And to his credit, he looked at them and said, it doesn't look like any protocols were broken to me. Jim Schwartz running after him. Doesn't he look like a little kid chasing the float that's throwing candy at the freaking 4th of July parade?
He did. Yes, he absolutely did.
That was great.
You knew nothing was going to happen.
You know, the best part of all of that, remember what I said last week about how the major networks had rugby, soccer, and football, and Major League playoffs were way over on cable?
Right.
Well, the World Series was set. And instead of talking about that, every sports radio station was talking about this fight. And then they finally mentioned the World Series 2 hours into the show. Yeah, by the way, World Series is going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. I care about that about as much as the NBA.
Kudos to Schwartz and Harbaugh. I hope they meet up in the playoffs.
Right. Yeah, right. Fun. They probably will.
Yeah.
Just might. Cool. They just, oh, that's a setup. That's a great setup for January right there.
And shake gate.
Yes. Yes.
And it's a grudge match, ladies and gentlemen.
Right, they're going to set it up like some kind of MMA fight. They'll have Michael Buffer out there at, you know, in the middle of the field.
Let's get ready to shake hands!
And then whine about it.
Right.
And then cry.
Violation Article 13, Section 3, Line B.
Protocol violation!
Oh, hell.
Hey, speaking of missing the NBA, Barack Obama misses the NBA. Listen to what he had to say.
Backstage, I had a chance to see Dwight Howard. And Dwight's a great friend, and I told him I'm a little heartbroken that the NBA season's getting delayed here. So I'm hoping those guys are back on the court soon.
Well, glad to know he's heartbroken about something. I wonder if he's concerned about people on Wall Street shitting on cop cars. I just...
Well, I'll tell you what. You really want to get him mad. Take his purple drink and his pack of Newports away, and he's really... He's upset now. Dude couldn't even get rid of the BCS, and that was a campaign promise. Get out of here with this NBA crap.
That was very racist, John.
What? His Newports?
His purple drink and his Newports.
Yeah, I guess you're right. He was, Barack's doing the scissor up in the White House there.
Any other game shock you this weekend?
Shock me?
Yeah.
No, not really. I wasn't really shocked by any of them, other than maybe the Giants doing so well against Buffalo.
The Bengals are 4-2. That's kind of shocking.
The Bengals, yeah, they are. Tampa Bay. That was a shock.
Yeah.
As soon as I bench Josh Freeman, the dude wakes up and starts going berserk.
Right.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Yeah, that was a good one. And congratulations to our buddy Tilliard. By the way, Tilliard, I know that the Bucks are playing in London next week, and I know you have a video camera, so take it with you and talk to some people.
Yes, we tried to get him to do that before.
Do it, man. Do it. Now they have these handheld MP3 recorders. They cost about $25. I don't know how much that is in, you know, pound sterling. But come on, man. Roving reporter, show mascot. Let's go.
Yes, definitely.
Do your job there, sideline reporter.
Get in the bathroom and videotape Warren Sapp taking a shit.
Can you get down there with Sean? You can get out there with Sean Payton and knock him on the knee. Oh, sorry. That was pretty cool.
So Monday night, the Jets played the Dolphins.
Did they? Is that what that was?
It went just about as we expected it to go. And, extremely dull. Brandon Marshall was having a nice game early on. Right up until Revis's pick six.
Pick six? Pick 106? Jesus Christ. Right.
Well, that was great because I had the Jets defense.
You know, usually you see those 100-yarders when they just get the sidelines and there's nobody in the picture. But he kind of ran through all of them for a little while there and then went all the way.
But before the game last week, Brandon Marshall, you know, everybody heard he talked about how he was going to – his goal was to get ejected in the second quarter. It might be for a fight or something, whatever. And, of course, he later came out and said he was just messing around. But he was talking about – you know, people have called him a beast. You know, they said, well, Brandon Marshall, man, he's a beast.
Right.
He wants to be a monster.
Monster.
He considers himself more of a monster now, and here he is talking about it.
When you try to control your emotions, you know, when you try to control yourself out there, you know, it's tough to be yourself, you know, and all my life I've been an emotional person, and it's just finding this, being able to control that, turn that switch on and off. You know, and it took me four games to really realize how to do that. And I'm going to turn it on. So I don't know what you guys, I don't know if y'all still call me the beast or if y'all think I'm washed up. But, you know, I consider myself a monster now. You know, the beast is like, if you see a beast, like, you should run because the beast is really scary and... I don't want to be that no more. You know, I want to be a monster. You know, if you think of monster, you know, it's like a little nightmare. You know, you should be scared. You should run. By the end of the day, he's not going to hurt you, you know. So I consider myself a monster now. And, you know, I'm going to play that way on Monday night.
Hey, Brandon, one word, therapy.
Yeah, I think he just finished with monster finishing school. I'm a monster, you know. Monsters, you should be scared, but they ain't gonna hurt. You ever watch Sesame Street? Cookie Monster ain't scary, but he sure do get his cookies, don't he? Let me ask you this, Tom. Would a beast catch passes that hit him in the hands in the end zone?
Right.
Because the monster was missing them pretty bad. Maybe he accidentally became the slippery hands monster.
It's like a little nightmare.
Yeah, that's what it was for the Dolphins, a little nightmare.
Japanese people see him and all run away. Hey, it's the Butterfinger Monster! It's Astroglide Hand Monster, the KY creature coming!
I don't want to be known as a beast no more. I want to be known as a monster. You know, monsters, they ain't scary. Hitler was a monster, but you know, you could take him home to meet your mother, you know?
If you see a beast, like, you should run, because the beast is really scary.
The fact of the matter is, a mouse is a beast, right? A chihuahua is a beast.
Yeah.
Oh, no. There's a scary beast. I don't want to be scary. I just want to be a receiver that is completely underperforming for my contract.
So we have some new Michael Irvin audio.
Yeah. Michael Irvin, this week, I thought was on fire.
He was. He was. Yeah, he was.
The game of wide receiver is a precise game that requires precision.
Right.
Oh, from what I understand, Tom, it is also a wide receiver who goes out wide and receives passes.
Well, Michael can talk about it.
I am a wide receiver, and we are talking about a wide receiver and wide receiver play.
That's right. It's precise, and it requires precision. Otherwise, it would be known as sloppiness, and then it would require sloppy.
The game of wide receiver is a precise game that requires precision.
You hear the director in his ear, Michael, we're running short on time. We're running long on time. Make up some shit and just say it.
LOL. It's an acronym you commonly use when texting. It stands for laugh out loud.
Well, there he's going time.
Michael Irvin explains the internet.
Now, if you ever see a link for lemonparty.org, you do not want to click on it.
LOL.
A friend of mine sent me Tub Girl. I thought this must be the strangest superhero ever. And no, she looked like a mustard fountain.
Laugh out loud.
He's teaching people how to text. That's terrific.
Oh, Michael. Michael's always fun. Oh, he's his little inner racist came out a little bit. He's you know, he's not a fan. He's not a fan of getting beat by white guys.
The white guy's going to beat you.
He hates that.
And then they're going to make sure you got to get back out in the field, Michael.
White guy going to beat you. I don't think that it's his inner racism. I think that he's just, this is an institutionalized racism that is accepted. This what the bit that he's going to run right past you now.
Well, that's true. I mean, it's just, I guess it's not so much as him being racist as it him being shocked that the white guy's going to beat you.
Right. Because, of course, there's no fast white guys in the world, right?
This is just not normal, John.
It's not normal, Tom.
White guy. So here he is. He's talking about the Packers and Jordy Nelson.
I was in Green Bay last week, right? And I'm going to the locker room. I got Greg Jennings over there, and I got James Jones. And then Jordy walks in. Hey, Jordy, come here, go to Jordy. Michael, yeah, tell everybody, man, we don't play like this. Over here, we got them. We beat people. And then when they come up on us, we bring our white guy in. Right. And every time Jordy comes in the game, they come up like, oh, y'all got a white guy? Okay, we got him. Yeah. And it's cool. Yeah. And then they come like, hey, man, what y'all get a white guy? He's so fast. You know, stuff like that. Do your teammates or anybody ever say, man, what's up, man? How is this little white kid beating us like this?
I like how he says that the Packers just stick their token white guy in there. You know, now we got them all figured out. We'll just put the white guy. Here, look at our white guy. It's almost, it's like standing around going, you know, and then when the police come, we just point at the black dude. And they all just take our word for it.
It's cool. It's cool.
You know, the quarterback look up and he see all these black dudes in the huddle and he say, I better call the play real slow. What the hell is this?
L-O-L. L-O-L. Laugh out loud.
When you're going to sit there and try to say that it's such a shock that white receivers are fast, granted there aren't many of them, but the two that you can name right off the top of your head are fast as lightning.
Bang, bang. Bang, bang.
Right.
There you go. Thank you.
Right.
Thank you. Now, you know, when he gets in the end zone, you know he can't dance. So he's got to give it to one of the brothers. We ain't going to be embarrassed by him doing no hokey pokey in the end zone.
I'm tasting what you're saying.
Yeah. White guy gets in the end zone. He puts his hand on his belt buckle and starts doing some country line dancing.
Starts
kicking up his heels.
It's cool.
I think that's where Michael learned things, isn't that right, Mike? Where do you go to learn things?
It's cool.
School.
School. School.
Oh man.
That's what it sounds like to Mike when they start trying to fire up the white guy's motor to make him run fast. pulling a freaking starter cord out of his ass.
That is still one of the funniest things I ever heard in my life.
Man, I can't wait for Sunday, man. He'll be back on again.
Oh, Michael. Michael. All right, let's go to break.
All right.
And when we come back, we have to talk about the Eagles sign guy.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The sign guy.
Yeah.
I wonder if the sign guy was even out this week. Probably not. They all love him. They're all in love with the Eagles again.
Oh, for God's sakes. These Eagles fans, man. They're talking trash again. I'm like, are you serious? You're 2-4. You beat the Rams and the Redskins.
Oh, shut up about beating. Let me explain something. You intercepted Rex Grossman. A white guy can do that.
Exactly. That's my point.
White guys can intercept Rex Grossman.
All right. So we're going to talk about the Eagle sign guy. And we also need to talk about a death in sports over the weekend.
Yeah.
Mike Tyson's new e-card and the pastor's wife on Family Feud. She's just a prize, John.
She really is, isn't she?
It's unbelievable.
The pride of the parish.
So we will be back to talk about all of that.
That's all, folks.
Bang Cartoon Radio.
Tony Romo has great upside, and I'm talking about this tonight. The problem is, people don't. He doesn't look like he's that type of an athlete, but he is. He is, man. I don't know some brother down in that line somewhere. Some brother, if I go down his family line somewhere, some brother somewhere and somewhere. I don't know who saw what or where. His great 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 grandma ran over in the hood or something went down.
Oh, that's the only way he can be a great athlete?
No, that's not the only way, but it's certainly one way. If great 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 grandma pulled one of them studs up out of the barn. Come on in here for a second, you know, when they go out working the yard, you know, back in the day. You know.
Alex Haley in Roots on the Dan Patrick Show.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Do you... Let's see if we can all steer out of this skid right now.
Hello, I'm Mike Orvin. I'm tasting what you're saying.
I'm baffled about this. I am an analyst, and my job is to analyze football and make comments.
I'm coming at you, buddy.
I am an analyst. I have matured.
VOTech. VOTech.
For 10 years, VOTech has been a leader in website development and network solutions. Whether your business has an established website or are preparing to create something new, VOTech can handle every facet of your project. VOTech offers full website and portal design and creation services, including domain registration, site maintenance, dynamic programming, database administration, video streaming, and more. VOTech also offers full e-commerce and e-marketing development and management, as well as complete web hosting services. You can trust your web project to the professionals at VOTech.
VOTech.
And Vic's going to throw, at least he starts to throw, and then he's going to take it in, and he gets into the end zone for the touchdown.
I don't know if he was fighting dogs or not, but it's his property, it's his dog. If that's what you want to do, do it. You know, what people do behind closed doors, you want to hunt down Michael Vick over fighting some dogs, you know, I think people should mind their business. I know I'm from Lawrence, Mississippi, so I know a lot of back roads that got a dog fight if you want to go see it.
It's obvious that your mother did not raise you right.
Come on, squeal, squeal.
I think Michael Vick is a positive person in the community.
Everywhere I go, people gonna love me, man.
I don't know if he's guilty or innocent.
Oh, where is my little dog gone?
A pit bull fighter.
All around the world, people still support Mike Vick.
He brings a dog.
He's supposed to be cheering for us, man.
He likes to fight dogs.
Spot, is that you? Come here, boy.
Oh, where can he be?
Hey, this is Rich from Revelation Theory.
I can't wait.
You're listening to John and Tom on the Bang Cartoon Radio Hour.
Rex fires, and it is picked off! It is picked off by Coleman, the safety, and the Eagles with the football.
That's his third. Grossman is going deep, and it's intercepted again! This time by Nate Adams.
Four picks in a game. Good things aren't going to happen.
And the Eagles' four-game losing streak is history, and they are now 2-4 going into the bye, and there is light.
There is light, John, thanks to your Redskin. You gave them hope.
We sure did. I'm not even going to get into the game because I think we spent too much time talking about my team. But, you know, our quarterback, I hate to always put it on just to say, okay, well, this one guy lost the game. But you know what? You fucking lost the game. God, Grossman.
I know how it feels.
Christ. That was just awful.
Well, the Eagles sign guy can relax for a week. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe he's still angry. Maybe. But the Phillies are out of the playoffs now, and the Eagles are off to this bad start. So fans in Philadelphia aren't real happy. Haven't been, anyway.
They never are, dude. Let's face it.
I know.
They're never happy.
I know. And they never learn, either.
No, they don't.
Anyway, we've got an incident here involving fans and players and signs and arguments and a man who is known only as John the Sign Guy.
Yeah, John
the Sign Guy. He went on the radio to explain what went down last Monday. He went to the Eagles facilities,
right,
and he put up a sign encouraging the Eagles to fire Andy Reid.
Now, this is the week prior to the Redskins game.
Yeah, this is last Monday.
Right. Well, yeah. Who knows when?
Yeah. After they went 1-4.
Right.
And he puts this sign up right outside the Eagles complex, and it drew members of Philadelphia security personnel. They came over. He was confronted by also by offensive linemen from the team who wanted the sign taken down. He says the players threatened his nephew.
They threatened his nephew.
Yeah, Jason Kelce, an offensive lineman, went on center. Twitter and called him a varmint.
A varmint? He's a goddamn varmint out there, boy. Get your scatter gun. I'm going to go out there and I'm threatening his nephew. Come here, boy. You dang little varmint. Kelsey's out there yelling at a 12-year-old. What the hell you doing with this hair sign, you varmint? He's like, what is it? Oh, they sent Elmer Fudd out there after him.
Right.
Say, what are you two doing out here in front of Eagles facilities?
Come on, squeal, squeal.
varmints. A varmint.
A varmint. So John the sign guy, he wants an apology. And he went on 97.5 The Fanatic in Philadelphia with John Marks and Sean Brace to discuss the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And they said, okay, they asked him, what time did you get down to the Eagles facility and where were you located? He says, we got there probably around 1 o'clock when the press conference was ending. The media started coming out, so they saw the sign and stations started coming over, newspapers and whatnot. We were directly across the street. So if you pulled straight ahead out of the Eagles complex, you would run into the sign. And they said, well, what happened then? He said, they started telling us we need a permit, which isn't true. You don't need a permit to hold up a sign. They said, well, who did that? And he said, Eagles security came over. I guess after all the media was out there and the news people, the guy said, look, you guys have the right to do whatever you want, but I don't think you guys want to get arrested today. I said, what am I going to get arrested for? He said, well, do you have a permit? I said, no, I don't have a permit. He said, well, you have to take the sign down. He said, the state police are coming, and you're going to have to take that sign down. I said, when the police come, I'll talk to the police.
State police. They yeah, should be right. out catching kidnappers and whatnot and stuff, uh-huh. trying to stop drunks on the road. But no, they got to come and talk to John the sign guy.
So then what happened when Eagles offensive lineman Jason Kelce and Evan Mathis stopped by? He says, not only did they pull up, but they pulled up, and I was getting interviewed at the time, and that's when they got into it with my nephew. It was maybe 5 minutes, I guess, and then they pulled away and went back into the complex, and then 5 or 10 minutes went by, and they came out again. And he says, what did they say to your nephew the first time they pulled up? He says, something like, okay, so he can't quote him, but he's going right. to, you know, give you the idea, and that's all we got to go by. But he says something like, what's the sign mean? And he said, well, you can read it.
maybe. Can you tell me?
And it's funny because the sign says, Andy, the times, ... to go.
Right, which really doesn't make any sense. It's completely...
Well, it means it's time to go. That's
yeah,
what
but
it means.
People up in Philadelphia use your apostrophes. Honest to God. It makes all the difference in the world.
Yes.
The way you've got that sign written, it sounds like you're telling a newspaper it's time to go.
Yeah, by the way, the rest of America, use your apostrophes. Please,
right.
learn the difference between there, and there.
That's right.
And your. Can you please learn the difference between those words? I'm not going to tell you. If you don't know, go do the research and find out the difference between, you know, the spellings and what they mean. Please.
I can tell the difference just by hearing them.
Hey, right.
Amazing. Hear those apostrophes.
Anyway, he says, well, you can read it. And the lineman says, you're going to get smart.
Because I sure ain't. What you going to tell me I can't read it? God dang it, you dang varmint.
He says, no, read it.
Somebody call Sheriff Taylor from the god dang state police. Tell him to get Barney Fife with his bullet down here. You dang varmints.
He says, no, read it. He said, well, what's it mean? He said, it's obvious. It's about your coach. And then the lineman says, well, take the sign down. He said, I'm not taking it down. He said, well, if you don't take it down, we're getting out of the truck and you're not going to like it. Something along those lines. I didn't hear exactly because I was away from it.
It's because he forgot his pants when they came out.
Right.
You're not going to like it. Not at all. You getting smart with me?
So the radio host asks him, so they issued some sort of verbal threat? He says, yeah, but the thing I want to clear up, I don't know where Jason Kelce is getting off. He did not say a word. I believe this is all the Eagles and their public relations, that they were probably nervous that someone would sue them or getting harassed or whatever. They must have went to Kelce and said, clear this up. That guy that was the passenger, Evan Mathis, did all the talking. Kelce never opened his mouth. So what was Mathis saying? Well, he was loud. He was agitated. He said, you guys aren't fans. You call yourself a fan. You're not a fan. You've got to support your team. That's what fans do. You should get a job. We've got the best coach in the league. We've got the best coach in the league, and we should be 5-0.
Oh, we should be. We should be 5-0. You Jeez. Think you're so goddamn smart using all them big words? I could, you know why Kelce didn't say anything? Because he's scratching his head going, and the time's to go. What's it say, Evan? Huh? Call the state police. Tell them to send a goddamn interpreter down here. Oh, God dang it. We got some people down here trying to think they's going to be writing some fancy pants English up on a sign. Hey, look here. Don't make me get out this here truck. You ain't going to like what's going to happen. I'm going to come over there, and I'm going to take that sign, and I'm gonna try to read it, because I'll be damned if I understand what the hell it is. And it times to go. Is he ordering a pizza? Because that's the only time you ever see him come out of the building.
Hey, look, all I know is we should be 5-0. We should right. be 5-0.
We should be 5-0. Unfortunately, we had to play them four games that we lost. If they didn't make us play them, we'd be 5-0.
See, John, this is where the Eagles fans get it from. You know, it's not their fault. I can't blame them. They're brainwashed. Look at the organization. We should be 5-0. Tell the world we're really champions, damn it.
That's right. That's right.
Look, I've got a ring on my finger. My wife gave it to me when we got married, and I've decided that it's a Super Bowl ring.
Oh, always acting like they've won something. Damn.
Andy Reid won the Punch in the Stomach Award of the day. That was funny as hell. You know, you ever watch those videos of like a bomb going off and you see the shockwave go whoom, all the way out for about a mile? That's what it looked like when LeSean McCoy hit him in the gut. That shockwave went from his nipple on down to his thigh.
Let's see. They asked him, what do you think about Kelce going to Twitter and saying you guys are fans? And saying that you guys aren't fans, you're varmint. He says, well, that's what I take offense to today. Right now, that upsets me so much that I really think that I want an apology from him, publicly and from the organization. I am a fan, and I'm hurt. We've had these tickets, season tickets, since the 1950s. They've been in our family and passed down. We've got about 20 tickets in our name. We are fans of the team. To tell me I'm not a fan and call me a varmint is a disgrace. I deserve an apology, but not for me, for all the fans of this city.
I'm sorry. I don't know if I could stand up and say, I demand an apology for being called a varmint. Oh, goddamn varmint. That one just kills me. A varmint. What is it, 1925? Is Jed Clampett outside shooting at some fucking dinner or something? Oh, son of a
you
god.
You varmint?
Varmints in their signs. Down where he lives, the squirrels in the trees all have signs. I can't find my nuts. Hey, look under your leg. Oh, son of a bitch, a varmint. That's hilarious.
So there's some response here from Eagles fans. Says here, very proud to be an Eagles fan with players backing their coach up. We have so many fake fans, it's sickening. I wish one of the players would have knocked this coward out. Well, I don't get that.
Look, these are the same people that will throw batteries at their own football team.
Right.
Okay? All right? Yeah.
Tell that trailer trash to give up their tickets and go to hell. Nobody owes these fools an apology. They had their 15 minutes of fame.
Wait a minute. The guy that with the signs of trailer trash or the dude calling him a varmint? Because I think
the guy with the sign
a bit closer.
The guy with the sign he's calling trailer trash.
I know, but really, who? If I told you, okay, one of these two guys is a varmint, the guy in the trailer or the guy with the sign?
Right.
Right? Is the guy in the trailer making meth?
Yeah, yeah, he is.
Here's another one. This guy had no right to go there with that sign in the first place. Grow up.
Well, yes, he really? Did.
Yes, he does. Said it's America.
He did have the right.
Yeah. He doesn't even need a permit. The state police didn't even show up.
Finally, they get one guy on their side, says, it's about time someone stood up and put Reed on the block. He and the owners are the only reason why the Eagles never hit the Super Bowl. Get rid of Andy and Jeff and we're golden.
That is a hell of a strong block if they're going to put him up on it.
Stopped watching the games 3 years ago, but would still be nice to be a winner like the Phillies are.
Wait, stopped watching the games 3 years ago?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a fan.
Yeah.
Stop watching.
I like that, though. Would not be nice to be a winner like the Phillies are. Are they in the World Series? I don't believe they're in the World Series.
Can't let the Cardinals in. They're going to win it.
Oh. All right.
From what I understand, the state police didn't show up because Otis the Town Drunk was trying to go after Opie, and they had to stop and break it up. There was a little dust-up at Floyd's barber shop, and hey, Angie, we got a call for some varmints down at the Eagles facility. Oh, my God. Well, God dang it. We can't go down there now. Aunt B's bringing us lunch. Mm-mm. Good football. Good football.
Oh, man.
Varmints. That's got to be the word of the day. Varmints.
Yeah, you were funny. You're funny, all right. You're a scream.
Now, what are we going to do about this here signing?
Nip it in the bud.
Right. There you go.
All right, enough of that. Let's move on.
All right.
Bye! Yeah, bye.
Bye. Bye. Y'all come back now. You hear?
let's get to Jerry Jones. He's got to be bummed. He went 0-4. The Cowboys lose at New England. Played a great game. Blew it. And he's 6-6 on the season, so let's get him on the phone.
Okay.
Hello.
Hey, Jerry. It's John and Tom from the Bang Cartoon Radio Hour.
God dang it. You know, I just knew you boys was going to be calling me today, and I got to tell you, I just don't have the goddamn time right now. I'm in the middle of chewing Garrett a brand new butthole.
Oh, all right.
Now, look. I don't know who did it, but whoever called that goddamn shovel pass is going to be pushing up daisies out in the middle of Mexico by the end of next week. That's enough of that. I'll talk to you boys next week.
Well, John. Jesus.
Jeez. Okay.
All right. Well, there's a...
Jay don't like losing.
Didn't expect that, so...
Who else is on speed dial here?
Well, you know what? Let's call Andy Reid. I want to call Andy Reid. I want to ask him about this sign guy.
Okay.
See what if he knows the deal about this. So let's... maybe he'll do picks for us.
Okay, he might pick which pizza tastes best.
Hello?
Hey, Andy Reid, John and Tom from the Bang Cartoon Radio Hour.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Congratulations. You stopped the skid.
Yeah, that's what all the headlines say. We stopped the skid, and I do. You know, we should be 5-0, Tom. Let's just make sure we're straight on that right away. We should be 5-0, and I think that from here on out, we're going to go 11-1, and we'll be in the Super Bowl like we belong.
All right, that would be interesting.
Especially since that would be 18 games, and I'm.
Well, I didn't know if that meant a couple of playoff wins as well, or.
No, when my blood sugar gets below 15 quarts, I start to get kind of, you know.
I understand. Well, hey, listen, we were hoping to get some picks from you, but I wanted to ask you about this guy that was across the street from the Eagles complex last Monday, John the Sign Guy.
Oh yeah, you know he really. Oh, sorry. I had to move up to the telephone. Let me catch my breath. He really angered me last week. That was completely uncalled for because on Mondays, that's where he was there. That's where the ice cream truck parks. And when the ice cream truck can't get in, I get upset. And I don't like that, especially when we're supposed to be 5-0 and we were not.
Oh, so that's why you sent the lineman over there.
I tried to send the... security guys out there to scare him a little bit, you know, try to give him the muscle, and it didn't work. And you know, the next thing I said to Kelsey, I said, "Look, get your scatter gun and get in your goddamn big ass hick pickup truck and go over there and threaten that man's nephew." So they went out there, and I said, "Wait! Before you do, make sure you pick me up a cheesesteak and bring it back." I was shocked, though, Tom. I was surprised that Eagle fans could actually get all four words spelled properly.
Are you all right?
Well, you know, I had to tie my shoe a few minutes ago. You know?
Oh.
That's just tough.
So did you end up getting your ice cream?
I did get my ice cream. We have an emergency supply here at the Eagles facility.
All right.
Know? Yeah, people think it's a practice dome, but it's not. It's really just, it's filled with rum raisin.
All right, Andy. Well, let's get on to some picks here.
All right. Yeah, I like the meat lovers, and I also like the crust with the cheese in it.
Stuffed crust. Yes, very good. Yeah.
Right, so there's my pick for the week.
Well, can I ask you about a few of the games coming up this weekend?
That's fine, sure. We're on a bye this week.
Right. What do you think's going to happen between Atlanta and Detroit? That's in Detroit.
Well, I've got that one. I've got that set up for my my viewing, so I'm going to be watching that. I'll have probably some pretzels in the first quarter. I think by halftime we'll have gone ahead, and I've got to get into some of that rum raisin. Just even mentioning it makes me just want to get my spoon out. At halftime, you know, the usual four sandwiches, and then in the second half, I'm gonna take it easy, and my wife is gonna try to give me one of those vegetable platters, but I'll just feed that to the dog and eat my emergency pizza that I keep under the desk.
Well, who's gonna win the game?
Oh, who's playing?
Atlanta at Detroit.
Oh, you know, I'm going to go ahead and pick the Atlanta Falcons, because I think that Mike Smith, he's probably got the reach there on Jim Schwartz. He probably gives about maybe an extra 10 pounds or so. You know, he's got a really nice uppercut, you know. So.
All right. How about Chicago at Tampa Bay?
There's a couple of teams there that really – Chicago, boy, they make great pizza up there, don't they? Those deep dishes are just fantastic. So I'm going to go ahead and take the Bears, and maybe they'll bring me one.
All right.
Yeah.
Houston at Tennessee.
You know, I love barbecued ribs.
Okay, who's going to win the game when Houston plays at Tennessee?
I'm sorry. Houston and Tennessee, well, you know, this is the teams that used to be one another. See, I think that they – right. Tennessee used to be Houston.
Right.
Houston, they didn't used to be anybody. So I'm going to go ahead and say that I'm going to pick the Texans to win this football game. Because,
Houston.
Yeah. The Houston Texans will win this football game because I do like barbecued spare ribs, and they do make very good barbecued spare ribs, but not in Nashville. You've got to go to Memphis. Oh, I'm going to pick the Texans.
All right, and finally, San Diego at the New York Jets.
Oh, you know, I watched that game on Monday night with the Dolphins and the New York Jets, and you know, I fell asleep in the first quarter. I couldn't even keep my eyes open. It was the most boring thing I've ever watched. I wake up and I've got a whole half gallon of rum raisin melted all over me. My wife had to give me a sponge bath because it got down into some creases that I have a hard time reaching. So,
how long does that take?
Oh, at least a day and a half. You know, and the worst part of it is that I really don't like it. So I run around the house like a dog that jumps out of the bathtub. And I'm kind of embarrassed by it, but she gets me to sit in the tub quietly because she promises me a treat afterward.
San Diego at the New York Jets.
Boy, I tell you, I love Mexican food, so I'm gonna go ahead and take the Chargers. You know, lots of people, they go to Tijuana to watch, you know, the donkey show or to get drunk. Me, I down there, they got Pablo's Tex-Mex taco stand right there at the border. That's just to die for.
All right, so all the road teams are going to win. Atlanta, Chicago, Houston, and San Diego.
Let's see. Atlanta, you've got the better fighter in Mike Smith. Chicago's good pizza. You've got Houston with the bull roasts and the tacos down in San Diego. Fish tacos. Man, I don't like those. They sound too healthy.
All right, Coach. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us, and enjoy your week off.
I will. You know, it's going to take me about 3 or 4 days to get out of this chair, so.
All right, Coach. Yeah. Take care.
Yeah.
Well, there it is, John. He didn't give a damn about that sign. He just wanted his ice cream truck there.
He's a good humor fan, I guess.
Right.
The ice cream truck that parks out there probably just has a funnel.
Jesus, the mental picture that popped into my head of his wife giving him a sponge bath while he's running around the house away from her. It was disgusting. Just disgusting.
That was awful.
My God.
Oh, my God. That was awful. I wonder if Andy Reid knows that trick where if you put the treat on his nose, he'll sit there and look at it until you tell him he can have it.
My God. Right.
Andy, it's sponge bath time.
All right. Sad news from the world of auto racing over the weekend.
Yeah. That was a nasty crash, man.
That was bad. That was bad. And, you know, I heard NASCAR, Jimmy Johnson said IndyCar racing should not be on an oval track. They're just too fast to be racing on an oval track, and they need to put a stop to that. And, well, this may do it. But we're talking about, of course, if you hadn't heard, Dan Weldon in the IndyCar race over the weekend, nasty multi-car crash. And they said he died of head trauma. I thought he got burnt alive. Maybe they don't want to say. Why would I doubt them? Why wouldn't they just say the truth if that was the truth? I don't know.
You would only hope that he was dead before the fire got him.
Oh my gosh.
You would really hope so. It's a shame, too, because he really is a decent person, man. He really is.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, leaves behind wife and kids. He just won the Indy 500 this year.
Yeah, it's a real shame. It really is. And, I mean, we're going to make fun of the whole thing now, but, you know.
Well, I'm not going to make fun of him. Well, maybe you are. I'm not making fun of it.
But I'll do my Weldon impression.
Okay.
Ready? Here it is. This is Weldon. Ready? Ta-da.
There you go.
Perfect.
Yep.
I know. It's about the most tasteless thing I do.
Anyway, I did want to play the announcers from ABC as the accident happens, and they're calling the race.
Weldon started 34th in this field. He has moved up 10 spots. But right now, the position he's in, he actually has a small advantage because everybody else has opened the airplane in front of him. And he here we go. Trouble contact and a huge crash. Oh. Up in turn number two. Oh, multiple cars involved. Dan Weldon may be involved in it. And Eddie, you and I spoke about this morning on the drive-in. Just this amount of cars, the speed, just the chance for what they call the big one.
The chance for what they call the big one. You think there's a chance? Cars doing 225 miles an hour, bunch of them, round and round in a little circle. You think there's a chance?
The big one, Tom. This is what you folks tuned in for. Look at it. There he goes, a big flaming coffin flying through the air.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. You know, oh, look, let's face it. That is what they freaking tune in for, no matter how much they want to tell you otherwise. Because other than that, you're just watching people drive in a circle.
Right. You're just watching people turn left.
Now, I think that track is a mile and a half. So if you're going, I'm not a very good mathematics wizard. So if you're going 200 miles an hour, how much time before you come out of one turn until you get to the next one?
It's nothing. It's seconds.
Nothing.
It's not even a second. I mean, it's just constant.
I have to agree with the NASCAR, redneck there, that you can't be putting these road rockets on that track. You're asking for trouble.
Well, Bill Maher talked about NASCAR racing, and you can apply it to this, too, because they were racing on the circuit. Well, you can apply it to any kind of racing, I'm sure. And he takes this kind of logical look at the whole thing.
Right.
I mean, America loves speed so much that we have deified NASCAR driving. You know, Dale Earnhardt died and Congress voted him a medal as a national hero. And I was like, where's my medal? For all the times I risked my life for a cheap thrill. Not that I'm against NASCAR. I'm not. Please. I'm a libertarian. Fellas, have at it. But could you spare me the bolt that goes along with this sport? This crap about how we want to make it safer? No, you don't. If you made it safer, we would just be watching traffic.
Right. Yeah.
And then the way they're always shocked when one of the drivers dies, you know. My God, 1 minute he was flying around an oil slick track. at 200 miles an hour, bobbing and weaving among other cars, and then just gone.
Yeah. Wow.
And then this is really stupid. Dale Earnhardt Jr. had an accident, and people started talking about, maybe there's an Earnhardt curse.
Right.
You know, like these people are in the frozen yogurt industry, and they keep bursting into flames.
Right. Oh, man.
You remember, I tried to, we tried to expand the breadth of the show and tried to get into NASCAR. It didn't work. We tried. I tried to watch two races.
Yeah.
And what I found was that these damned announcers have nothing to do for 3 hours, so they make the most ridiculous stuff seem important.
You know, Tom, here you go right here. You see Jethro Bodine's going to make his move right here. He gets a little move here, and he tries to cut over there in front of Junior Samples in the hee-haw car. But this is where he made his big mistake right here. He flipped on his turn signal, and that gave Junior the heads-up that he was coming. And now here, Junior, he ain't playing none of that. So right here, you see, he pushes on the gas, and look, right there, he don't let him over. He's just not going to let him in. Now, that is some driving, let me tell you. Right here, you can see it. Junior makes it so his car is right there in the way of Jethro's car, so he can't get over. That's just an amazing athletic move there by Junior Samples in the hee-haw car.
Junior Samples.
The number on his car is BR549. Oh, God. I think I would tune in to watch if there was a hee-haw car.
Oh, yeah. There probably is.
Oh, God. I would love that.
Yeah, that's great.
You know, I like when these guys who get in their RV and drive hundreds of miles so they can park on the infield and sit on the roof in the hot frickin' sun and watch the cars go round and round and round and round. You know, I'm surprised we don't see more injuries from drunken rednecks falling off the roof of their campers after they get too dizzy from turning in circles to watch the race. You know, they tell you, man, there ain't nothing like being there. Well, yeah, there is. Go stand up on your house and watch the freeway. It's just the same thing. They go a little slower, but, you know, at home you can sit in the air conditioning on your couch. You don't have to sit on the roof of your house.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, where'd you watch the race from? My roof.
Yeah, I don't want to see any accidents, but God dang it, the rest of it's freaking boring.
Well, anyway, rest in peace, Dan Weldon. That's a shame. It's a waste.
It is.
And I agree that people want to see the crashes, but I don't think anybody wants anybody to die.
No. Of course not. They don't want to see them die. They just want to see them completely slammed to just destroy the car and, you know, go about 180 miles an hour. But we don't want to see them get hurt.
Right. Yeah, it's just like, you know, you watch boxing, you want to see somebody get the shit beat out of them, but you don't want to see them get killed.
No, but when you do, you don't ever forget it. I remember when Boom Boom Mancini killed Dooku Kim, and I watched it, and I was like, damn.
Yeah.
Yeesh. That was nasty.
Hey, speaking of boxing.
Oh, what a segue.
Mike Tyson. He now calls himself the Pigeon Whisperer.
Ooh, the Pigeon Whisperer.
He's now working for an e-card company called Star Greets, and they get stars to do, you know the cards you can buy now where you open them up and they start playing a song.
Yeah.
You know, well, then there's e-cards you can buy and they'll have some song or some message. Well, now you can get them with a message from somebody famous, and Mike Tyson is one of the people you can get a message from.
All right, everybody, get your pencils. P.O. Box 1356, Solomons, Maryland 20688. I want a Mike Tyson e-card. Okay.
Well, I think this comes over online. It's an e-card.
Oh, it's an e-card. See, I thought it was one of those things you open up and it starts
to
chalk.
No, I'm saying they've advanced from that now.
Okay.
Yeah. No, this is an e-card. I'm just saying, you know, you get an audio with cards now.
Right. Well, don't send me an e-card because I never open them. Those things are full of viruses.
Well, anyway, here's what it says. This one came to this girl from Mike Tyson.
Amy, hi. Listen, a little birdie told me it's your birthday.
Oh.
a little birdie told me it's your birthday. Your birthday.
Yes.
What's your birthday, John?
it was the day that you was birthed.
My mama gave birth to me.
I was birthed. I was birthed on December the 15th.
Anyway, here it is again.
Amy, hi. Listen, a little birdie told me it's your birthday. We got this bird.
He brought one in his pocket.
No, seriously. This little birdie told me, nobody calls me Mike anymore, or even Mr. Tyson. I am now the Pigeon Whisperer.
the hell was that? He's talking to the pigeons. Oh my god. What is that?
Now you was gonna get down on the sidewalk and you was gonna bob your head with every step you take and you was gonna eat up every small piece of scrap of food that you can find.
Oh my. Oh wait, oh, hold on. Email just came in, Tom. Somebody sent me a Mike Tyson e-card.
Oh lord.
And it's not a vocal one. It's a poem.
Oh, you got a poem?
Yeah, somebody just sent me this poem. Dear Bang, here you go. From Mike Tyson.
All right. If I was a pigeon, by Mike Tyson, the pigeon whisperer. If I was a pigeon, I would take to the wing. I'd fly around town and shit on everything. I would shit on cars. I would shit on trucks. I would shit on people, and I wouldn't give a fuck. I'd shit so much I should wear a diaper. And if I saw all his hair, I'd shit on Mel Kiper. I will shit in the north. I will shit in the south. If you're sleeping in the park, I will shit in your mouth. And so for your birthday, this little birdie will fly. So look up and make a wish, and I will shit in your eye. Happy birthday!
Well, that's awful sweet, Tom.
Oh, my God.
That's a very nice sentiment, must say.
Wow. Oh, my gosh. Whoa.
He's going to shit on Mel Kiper. Mel Kiper's going to feel it and go, this shit did. He's got a great 40 time, fell out of the sky with a high velocity, but you can see right here it doesn't have the consistency to last in the NFL. I can break it up in my fingers very easily.
Oh, my face hurts. All right, I got one more thing here.
Okay.
A woman on Family Feud gave one of the dirtiest answers in game show history.
Really?
Yeah, she's the wife of a pastor, too. Her name is Megan, and you know, Steve Harvey is now the host of Family Feud.
Steve Harvey has the largest set of teeth on the planet Earth.
Yes, he does.
They're huge.
And, you know, it's like top five answers on the board, and he says, name something you put in your mouth but don't swallow.
No. Well, that's a setup, isn't it?
Yeah, and here's how it went.
I want you to think about this show and all the years it's aired. How many families have enjoyed this wonderful form of Christian entertainment? So find a way to give me your answer and keep it where we can all be working when you're done.
Well, I'm a pastor's wife, but I will say this out loud. They're sperm.
Oh!
You know it's up there, Steve. Everyone knew it. It's up there. We're going for the money.
Going for the money shot there, Steve.
And no, it wasn't. It was not on the board. She got a big X.
I like it when they swear all her kids are over there. Good answer, Mom. Good answer. Good answer. His daughter, her daughter's going, no, Mom, you got to put his dick in there first, and you don't swallow that.
Yeah, some do swallow it.
Oh, my God. Her husband told the whole town to tune in and watch. Could you imagine the next Sunday at the ladies' bake sale?
Say, Marge, these brownies are a bit salty.
The pastor's out with his buddies. So she doesn't swallow, huh? Too bad.
Oh my God, I could see him up there on the pulpit with his sermon next week.
Then yea, though if thou may taketh thy sperm of thine man into thine mouth, but first one must stroke thy balls, and slippeth the index finger up at thine ass of thine partner. And after the blessed release, thou shalt spit, but not too fast. Thou must waiteth until I am finished. And only the dirtiest of bad girls shall swallow. And for swallowing, thou punishment shall be everlasting popularity among the menfolk. Thou wantest a spanking. Thou hast been a bad girl. I shall turn thou over my knee and paddle thee with a hairbrush. And thou shalt beg mine forgiveness. Survey says, meet me after the show.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah! 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 Hallelujah!
That's too damn funny.
I can't believe she said that.
You know, there's probably some atheist writer for the show that said, wait till we get a pastor's wife on. We're going to slip this question in there.
Right.
Right.
All right. You got an email?
I got a few. All right. Let's see. My buddy Alan writes in, say, hey, guys, I got to say, I love the shows are coming out on Thursdays now. They always did. Friday is always a busy day for me, and I never used to be able to listen to the show till Saturday morning.
Hell, they're usually up by Wednesday night.
Now they are, yeah. With it coming out a day earlier, however, I can usually get to listen to it as soon as it comes out. Just a quick suggestion to improve the show. Uh-oh, Tom, we have a helper.
Uh-oh.
We got to get a new intro and outro, he says. The amount of stuff on there that is out of date now is ridiculous.
Yeah, I agree with him. I agree with him completely. Okay. I just haven't had the time. That stuff doesn't just fall out of the sky, man. That is work.
Yeah, and believe me, both of us want nothing more than to do nothing but this and make cartoons every day.
I know.
But we gotta make money.
It's not like it's hard work. It's just time-consuming work.
Exactly. Believe me, I got jokes popping out of my head for cartoons, but I don't have the 5 days it takes to make one.
Oh, we were on the phone the other day, and it's like, man, we were talking, that's a cartoon. That could be a cartoon.
Right.
Oh, what a great cartoon that would be. And it's like, God.
Well, the Raiders brought in John Madden, right, to talk to him how to fix the franchise.
Well, you got to get these Funyuns out of the vending machine. Nobody likes those.
And then you got to give up 2 first-round picks for Carson Palmer. That'll fix everything.
It's a first and a conditional for Carson Palmer. But really, if you're Jason Campbell, don't you feel like the most disrespected guy on the planet? What the hell, yes. Man? I just got a broken collarbone. I'll be back by Christmas. Hey, old buddy Dallas Ace writes in. Dallas Ace. Did Tom Jackson suddenly become the quarterback from Tecmo Bowl for a minute?
Hut.
Remember that? You could leave that thing on for 5 minutes, go take a shit, and he would still be calling hut.
Hut.
Hey, he says, while you're replying to me, my email, can you answer this question for me? How is drinking a light beer with more taste manly? I don't even drink, and I think guys who drink light beers are pussies. Tom doesn't drink much, so I will answer this question. Here's what a man does. He drinks whatever the fuck he wants.
Yeah.
Right. If I want to drink a pink lady with a goddamn yellow umbrella, you come up and tell me that I'm not a man. How about that?
Right.
That's what a man does. He drinks whatever the hell he wants.
I was just going to say, I'm not a fan of light beer. If I drink beer, I'm drinking beer.
Yeah. I do like Miller Lite because I like a Pilsner, and there's not many of them that are made anymore.
Yeah. Now, see, I'd rather have a Miller Genuine Draft.
Show mascot John Tilliard writing. And by the way, John Tilliard put a video up of the Gridiron Challenge Top 5 that's over on our Facebook page that is absolutely hysterical. at least I found it funny. Just to listen to John say, stop it, is worth it, worth it, worth it, worth it. John, we need this every week, but you got to get it for me. As soon as you got to let me know you're going to do it so I can get the audio from it in time for the show.
Oh, put stop it!
And I want you to take it to the damn Bucks game this week, dude. Come on. Anyway, John writes in, hey guys, I'm surprised that you were talking about great football movies in the last show. Neither one of you mentioned The Blind Side or Jerry Maguire. I guess Bang hates The Blind Side because it opens with Joe Theismann breaking his leg. No, I hate The Blind Side because it's about the Ravens. Fuck them.
I like that movie.
You do? I probably would like it. I just haven't had time to sit down and watch a 2-hour movie.
Movie, man. You should watch it.
Oh, I'm sure it is. But again, I don't like the Ravens. So my buddy Chris Atherton, blow it out your butt.
Yeah, but you know what? Here's the one thing about it. The movie has nothing. You don't hear anything about the Ravens till like the last minute of the movie.
No, I know, but I know who it is. That's the thing.
Oh. You know where he's eventually going to end up.
Right. I know what's going to happen, right. Anyway, he says, somebody on the Facebook page also suggested Forrest Gump is a great movie, but I wouldn't count it as a football movie. And I agree. Who the hell would think Forrest Gump is a football movie? He plays football for like 5 minutes in that movie.
Run, Forrest, run!
I will tell you this. That movie is fun, but if you really want something, any of you guys out there that can read, go find the book, because the book is completely different from the movie. The movie has got all these morals and everything in it. The book is just about a freaking idiot. That's all it's about, and it's written about an idiot, and it's hilarious.
Huh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, oh my God, it's funny as hell, and it's written like he wrote it, so it's written all stupid sounding like that and everything. And really, it's just about an idiot that bungles through history and nothing else. There's no morality. There's no, underlying meanings. It's just about a freaking redneck idiot. Ron Jeremy writes in, oh, hey, the biggest dick in porn writes in, Tom. Hey, Tom, hey, guys, how come no one has given me any credit for breaking up the Jim Schwartz, Jim Harbaugh fight? So that's who that was in the middle.
That's who it looked like.
Jeremy. Yep.
It looked like the hedgehog. That's who it looked like.
Oh, my God. You know, I've read that Ron Jeremy can't even walk through airports. People stop him all the time to get their pictures taken with him. But hot young chicks, man, they're like, oh, we got to get a picture. No wonder he gets laid. He's got some kind of charm, I guess.
Something.
All right, Adam writes in, hey, dudes, I have this friend who has emigrated from Australia. He's a big rugby fan, so I figured I'd try to get him into the NFL since the two poor sports are similar. He's been watching it for the first time this season, and he said to me yesterday that he doesn't like the way teams can just kneel down at the end of the game. He said it's like seeing a movie with the ending cut out, and they should change the rules so you can't do that. One interesting idea he had was to reduce the play clock to 20 seconds in the last 2 minutes. That's not a bad idea.
Oh, my God.
That's not a bad idea at all.
You know what I mean.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea. Way to go there, buddy from Australia.
How come we can just kneel down there and run out the ticker? That ain't right.
All right, Conroy writes in, how funny is it that Chris Cooley wants to fight Romo in a cage but breaks his finger and has to miss the whole season? Who's the pussy now?
Right.
Well, Conroy, it's still Tony Romo.
Man, it is hilarious watching Chris Cooley break his finger and end his season. That's what, you know.
Right. Oh, hell. All right. Mini Bang. So I guess this is my son writes in. Mini Bang. He calls himself Not So Mini Bang. Yeah. I had a Bang Cartoon Radio Hour moment the other day at school that I needed to tell you guys about. I'm sitting in my history class and we're reading this document in Old English. In the article, they had we in there, but in Old English, it's spelled W-E-E. Whenever I read over that, in my head, I kept hearing Diva Lover, wee, 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 all the way home.
Wee, 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 all the way home.
Wee, 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 all the way home. Is it not ours to annihilate? Is it not upon us, Englishmen, to annihilate? Is it not upon us to assassinate, to deviate, or bloviate? Tony Romo, thou must go. You panty-sniffing fool.
Romo! Oh, Romo!
Oh, I can't keep... Man, this is too many times I've had to speak like an old Englishman here. Jesus Christ. All right, that's the end of the emails for me today.
Let's see. bcrh-forums.net for the message board.
Find us on Facebook, Bang Cartoon Radio Hour. That place is hopping, man. Lots of people are coming in there now. That place is fun. You can see Tillyard's latest video.
That's it, and we'll do it again next week.
Later.
Visit bangcartoon.com for a complete archive of the Bang Cartoon Radio Hour as well as Bang Cartoons.
bangcartoon.com. Listening to the Bang Cartoon Radio Hour.
Oh boy. Oh boy.
You're not a loser because you dress up in shoulder pads with spikes on them. You're a loser because you like the Raiders.
Bang Cartoon Radio.
Let me inhale it all in one more time.
Yes, ma'am, still yes, ma'am. Yes, sir, still yes, sir. Pull your pants up around your waist. I don't care if I'm your mom or not.
Yeah, they still have Tom Brady, and they're still coached by Bill Belichick.
The last time I cried over football is when Tom Brady got hurt, and those were tears of joy. Your coach is a cheater, your rings are a lie, you back up from Michigan.
We care about the small people.
So long, you fetus-faced windbag.
At Tesco, we can pop our pasta in your Astra, our Red Leicester in your Fiesta, or our mayo in your Mondeo. All you need to do is try click and collect. Just go to Tesco.com, order your shopping, then click and collect. With the minimum basket spend now only £25. And if you fancy something a little more exotic, we can even put our pad thai in your cash kai. Try click and collect at Tesco.com. Every little helps. Selected larger stores, booking charge may apply. See online for full terms and conditions.